The year of 1846 had only just begun, and Angelique Cotton was 14 years old. The peasant girl lived with her widowed aunt in the small village of Bovigny, France, sharing a simple provincial existence. I can imagine young Angelique, like any teenager, lying awake in bed and waiting for her life to start, waiting for a spark. And in January, a spark is exactly what arrived. It was a rainy month, the sky troubled by frequent storms, by thunder and lightning. Electricity, the papers recorded, seemed to charge the very air. Angelique and a few other girls were hard at work in Angelique's aunt's house, busy weaving silks into gloves, when suddenly, the oak weaving frame that Angelique was holding began to shake. It rattled more and more wildly, and then a round cylinder broke free of the frame and shot across the floor of its own accord. The girls fled, frightened, but when they told the adults what had happened, no one believed them. So they went back to work, but the same thing happened again, and this time the adults got to see it too. The shaking frame, the shooting cylinder, and most strange of all, they had all watched as Angelique approached the weaving frame, only for it to slide away from her as if in fear. And things only got weirder from there. Angelique seemed to have become, well, repellent. Chairs would skid away from her. Papers and pens would fly from her touch. Even a table floated into the air once as she passed. Of course, rumors of devil possession spread, but when her aunt brought her to a priest, the priest concluded that there wasn't a spiritual problem, but a medical one. So her parents took over, dragging her to doctors and scientists all across the region. Though skeptical at first, the doctors all soon observed the same thing. Gusts of wind would rise around Angelique from nothing, even with the windows closed. Small objects would fly away from her at a single touch, or even by brushing against her apron. When she tried to lay in bed, the bed frame would shake and even levitate, making it impossible to rest. On one occasion, she touched a heavy tub with a man sitting on top, and both flew through the air across the examination room. According to an article published a few years later in The Atlantic, shovels, tongs, lighted firewood, brushes, and books all were set in motion when the girl approached them. A pair of scissors fastened to her girdle was detached and thrown into the air. And then there's the question of what happened when Angelique touched people. Apparently, the unfortunate individuals would receive a large and violent electric shock at the moment of contact. Standing near her, the hair on people's arms would rise on end as if with static. It wasn't long before she became known as the Electric Girl of Bovigny. The effects, it seemed, were also worse at night, between 7 and 9 p.m., and when she was standing directly on the earth, almost as if she were drawing the power up from the ground. During these hours, the phenomenon was so strong that she could only stand or sit on the floor. Why? Because any chair that she tried to sit on would rocket away from her. Her left side was more powerful than her right, though, and often felt hot when the phenomenon was going on. Her pelvic area was also abnormally changed. For poor Angelique, it was debilitating, a sort of Midas touch, if instead of everything turning to gold, everything you touched was electrically shot out of reach. She couldn't hold anything. She couldn't sit down at night. Couldn't be close to other people. Standing on carpets or wax paper alleviated the symptoms a little, as did sitting on a stone covered in cork. But these were only temporary fixes. Soon enough, the electricity would return in full force. Also, and this is extra weird, touching the North Pole of a magnet would give Angelique an electric shock. But the South Pole? Nothing. It seemed like the phenomenon was caused by some kind of magnetic field, but that wasn't all. The scientists were shocked, and no pun intended, I swear, to find that her mood affected it too. When she was exhausted, agitated, or frightened, the electricity seemed to calm a little, as if focusing on it allowed her to tamp it down. But when she was careless and distracted, she was basically the human equivalent of rubbing a balloon on your hair. Sometime during all of this testing and rattling and zapping, lightning struck Angelique's parents. Not literally, mind you, just the bolt of an idea. See, they knew that they had something special on their hands, and so they started hosting private shows, where Angelique would exhibit her powers, to a paying audience, of course. And so between doctor's appointments and visits from curious scientists, Angelique slowly transformed from peasant to performer. It all came to a head, though, when Angelique was taken all the way to Paris. There, a formal committee of academics formed to verify what the previous doctors had seen. This, once and for all, which show the world just what a marvel Angelique really was, vouched for by some of the most respected thinkers in all of France. But when they tested Angelique, nothing happened. No sparks, no repellent, no vibrations. And this committee wasn't easy on her either. They were thorough. Angelique was pushed and prodded to complete exhaustion. At one point, the men even put a skinned laboratory frog on her arm and fed an electric current into it to see what would happen. It twitched, and understandably, young Angelique freaked out. She had nightmares of frogs for days. Now, remember, when Angelique was frightened or exhausted, her powers seemed to ebb, and she had certainly been driven to both. She was only a peasant girl, after all, and here she was in the big city, forced to be a guinea pig for some of the most powerful men in Paris. Was it possible, then, that the stress has made her powers disappear? Or had they never been there at all? Whatever the case may be, Angelique's powers were gone for good. She kept touring and performing for a little while after that, but it was clear that her show was only stagecraft and trickery, easy gimmicks in low light. And yet, the doctors and scientists who had first examined her remained insistent that the powers had been real. Perhaps they had abated, with time or with puberty or under pressure. They didn't know why. But falsifying her powers now didn't mean they'd never been there at all. We may never know the truth, whether the electric girl of Bouvigny was the phenomenon she claimed to be, or whether she was just a poor girl, dreaming of a bright electric life. Either way, one thing is for sure. Her story is certainly magnetic. This episode of Lore Bites was produced by me, Aaron Mankey, with writing and research by Jenna Rose Nethercott and music by Chad Lawson. Lore Bites are a perk offered only to our Patreon and Apple Podcast paid subscribers, as a thank you for such generous support. Look for new episodes each Wednesday morning. Be sure to follow the show on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Just search for Lore Podcast, all one word, and then click the follow button. And when you do, say hi. I like it when people say hi. And as always, thanks for listening.